Blog Talk Radio.
The man you're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. 3, 4.
I got something, y'all, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to sing along. Lift every voice and sing, till it in heaven rain, rain with the harmony, oh, let it be. Let our rejoicing rise high, loud as the orgia. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, thou who has brought us this far, oh, long way, thou who has bowed thy mind to the light, keep us forever in the past we pray.
Let the peace take from the place.
Sit loud.
Ooh.
That song makes me feel real good today, y'all. I had to play it twice. Woo! Sit loud. I'm black and I'm proud. Some of y'all don't know about the camel walk. Maybe somebody bring that dance back. That dance was long. Why you see my Aunt Clara do the clip? When I was a little girl, do the camel walk. We're here, y'all. Yeah, ain't nothing like the camel walk, the mashed potatoes, the black eyed peas, the swim, the dog, all that stuff. Just having fun, y'all. But I remember when I was a little girl, we had a aunt. My aunt named Aunt Clara. Boy, she get to doing that camel walk. And then my granddaddy, big daddy, get my dad, and they do ball and jack. That was like fun when your family get together and just have a good time. And you know, when I went to Africa, I saw that's what they be doing. They be dancing and moving and going. Anyway, but I love the song. It sounds good. You can hear the spirit of Jane Brown in there. Because once we understand that spirit, we'll be different. Let me tell y'all something. Today I'm going to let y'all talk. Not no mess, but we're going to need to do something here and see what y'all got to say. I hope Brother Williams out there on 115 give me a call in at some point today and let me know what's going on out there. I think we have to be vigilant. If we don't be vigilant, we're going to be in trouble, y'all, not just in Chicago, but across this country. All of the mayors met in Washington with the president's advisor, because, you know, he can't stay in there 5 minutes, he go to sleep. With the president, all of the folks from the president, they was up there lobbying for more money for the migrants, as they called them. I mean, somebody got to help me make sense with all of this, because there's so much stuff I don't understand, you know, and I try to be nonviolent and loving. But if you don't have the right understanding, and give your people the right understanding, then something is missing, not just for you, but for the future. And I'm talking about the future of our children. Because if you notice, you don't hear anything about us, about our children, about our problems, our plight, or anything, not just the black community, but Americans, period. But especially our community as I zoom in. I mean, I got to always focus on us, but not just us, but Americans. You don't hear that. All you hear is about how we got to take care of these people who came over here. And they could have stayed where they was. I tell you, the best way to take care of them is to get the asylum lawyers down there, talk to them, and send them back. Now, I was looking at the news. I should have taken a little piece and saved it, but I'm going to play it. I'll get it next time for y'all. And in New York, I don't know what they're doing. You have to watch it, too. Where they was going around knocking on people's doors and breaking, getting in folks' house, getting food, going in bakeries, going in even liquor stores and stuff and breaking in and getting stuff. One of the guys said, y'all got us over here. We ain't got no jobs and we ain't got no housing. We supposed to eat. If we don't eat, we going to go to crime. We going to eat from somebody. And I'm looking at this guy, and there's a bunch of them standing around him. And I was wondering, some of y'all might have seen it. If y'all did, y'all let me know. Because MSNBC and CNN and Michelle, I'll show y'all that. I saw that on Newsmax, and I saw it on some of the other stations. You know, I look at some of the world stations, and I look at Fox Newsmax. I look at them MSNBC and CNN and see what they're doing. But they never give you something so you can have a, you know, if they're not making you upset about systemic racism and all that, they're not showing you stuff that affecting you. That's how I feel. So he said that they're not going to be hungry. They're not going to be staying outdoors. You know, they're going to eat and they're going to live whatever they got to do. And I'm looking at this guy who came over here. Everybody asked you to come over. You talking about, so those people got to live in fear, and them folks was really, you know, upset. Some of the people scared to go to work and leave their families because you bring in that criminal activity that you had over there, over here. And I was just, you know, it ain't just there. It's got to be around here because y'all think all that breaking and all this stuff is from black folks or that it's from us. It's not necessarily. I'm on the air. What you want? Yeah, I'm sorry, y'all. I got a call. I'm sorry. But anyway, to see that and to know that they're taking that attitude that they have a right to what we have. You ain't gave us no job, no housing. We ain't going to take it, our children. And I'm looking at it. So what you hear is to try to take care of the quote-unquote migrants, illegal immigrants, I call them. And it's like a demand there. There's more of a demand for them to be taken care of and their children to be taken care of than it is than you're doing for your children or your family of things you need. You're not demanding. So that's all you hear. So be clear, if the quote-unquote migrants, there's more federal funding that comes, they'll steal your taxes. You don't. That means when you file your income tax, whether it's tax credit, income tax, you get less because they're going to have to use this money. Now, I was looking, and we're going to, I want y'all to talk, at the CTU, which this was on the 18th Thursday, they are pleading for federal funding to strengthen the education of the migrant. And now they want to strengthen the education of them, and here we don't have our children who cannot read, cannot write, and they're functionally illiterate. Not all, because, and then you blame the parent, which is not true, and the resources. Now, that's kind of deep. They want to strengthen their education. And as I looked at the education they're strengthening, I'm trying to tell y'all that there's no advocate for our people or our children. So I said, oh, my God, what's going on here? Well, I already know what's going on, but I had to, you know, I always like to do my research. So then I see where in that paper on the 30th of December before, what happened in January where the city tapped $95 million in federal relief funds for migrant housing. Now, I know a lot of people who don't have any housing, you know, and what you're going to have, trust me, the third, and that stuff is going to go to the other folks. Well, this is what they said with the city, and I couldn't understand what the hell they meant about that. And if we have a surplus of funds, then my taxes should be going now. If you're going to put it somewhere, it should be toward our schools so our children can thrive to be scientists and they can read and they can write. And toward our people, there's no help, y'all. I'm telling y'all. You don't hear that. And with the city anticipating a budget surplus to close out the year, they're going to have a surplus. Our city will. Mayor Johnson will shift $95 million into COVID-19 relief fund to cover some of the mountain costs of shelter housing asylum seekers. These folks are not saying they're seeking asylum. You don't hear them say it no more. They say they come for jobs, they want housing, they want schools, they want a better life for their children, for themselves. That's what they said. That's not asylum. One of the mayor's top aides said they announced the budget maneuver, which was that Friday before, that would have been the 29th of December. They said, for the sake of transparency over how the city is paying to care for nearly 1,500 quote-unquote migrants. If we got extra money, and I want some of our leaders to tell us, are they down there fighting for us, or what they think, those representative people I'm talking about. That don't make sense. They said city revenues mean some of those operational costs can be covered by the city corporate funds. Y'all might not know about the corporate funds. That's a whole other thing. Freeing up $95 million in federal dollars for the migrant crisis, and the city budget, said the city budget director. This don't make sense. They've already spent $138 million to care for the new arrivals, as they call them. And they said where they came from and all that other stuff. So this doesn't make no sense. So they went to Washington to try to get some more money. So I say to you, I'm having a hard time with my taxes. Please, whether you federal, state, or county, especially the city and the state and the county, because if you look at your taxes, do you see how much money that we are paying in taxes? So you're going to take our surplus. And not only that, take it and write down the debt, your pension debt and all of that. But no, if you got a surplus, that's what you're going to do. If you want to look at that, you look for December the 30th and know what that is. Now, why are we talking about that? They were talking about Chicago could move away from choice school. Now, that was the 27th of December. But what I wanted to say to y'all, I'm looking, just give me a second, because I want this article on, it was really something. It's on the, they had a round table, CPS round table. And it was one of the, y'all don't understand, the Hispanics got a lot of schools that y'all don't know about. Y'all remember UNO in Chicago? All that money they got, and they built science labs, and they built their own schools at UNO. So while they was after our black schools, they had let UNO build a lot of schools. So they got a lot of schools, and they're named after their people, and while they're taking our names off. And so y'all forgot about UNO. So they went under and got reacquired because of some of the misuse of funds. So what they did is reorganize. But they had a meeting, and they had a meeting for the Federation of teachers, president, CTU, president of Gates. This is, they talking about the people around this table. This, y'all should get, this is at January 19th. That was yesterday. American Federation of Teachers, president was there. CTU president was there. Representing Lillian Jesma, this is Hispanic person. Migrant parents and community advocate discussed ways to meet the needs of the new arrival migrant students and their family doing the round. And that's where they met, and they still got the round table picture in there, y'all. Y'all should look at the Sun-Times on the 19th. And they're talking about ways to get more bilingual, to use money for more bilingual teachers to make sure that they catch their children up on reading and math and all the things they will need. I thought that was something. They said they was going to do wraparound, bilingual teaching, better wraparound service. And y'all know our people need wraparound for the migrant students and their family, particularly of a round table employed on Wednesday. They wanted to discuss that. Why are they going to wrap around all these services? This don't make no sense. And y'all can sit down and dance and be talking all the yang, yang, yang. And y'all, here you have children who can't read or don't have the resources. They have the band. They don't have science lab. They don't have teachers who are proficient in the subject that they're supposed to be teaching. And that's in our schools, y'all. And you don't have that many black teachers in our schools because they laid off a lot of them. But now they're talking about getting more of the bilingual. And what's got what was when the National Teacher Union leader and the state representative for their community, they was the one advocating for it. Now, I don't always get angry with these people, even though I think we've been used with this color, this people of color thing and this equity thing to get people what they want and not us. Now, the fact that the national teachers, people will come here, the nationals, she will come here, Randy Wingate and Stacy and all of them sit around the table with the representative from them and the parents from them and to discuss how they're going to make those schools work. I'm telling y'all, I better wake up. One of the community advocates said that they see this moment not just as a challenge, but as a real opportunity to reinvest in public education that all of our students deserve, said Perez, the English learning program teacher. This is interesting, y'all. It's so much to read, and y'all need to look at it yourself and to see what these people are doing. And while we yin-yanging, what they're doing is working on housing, ownership, jobs. They want to make sure they do wraparound to get the people jobs, get every housing they need and all the stuff they need. That doesn't make no sense. They said the 34,000 immigrants, they call them migrants. And they want to keep blaming the Texas governor, Abbott. It is not his fault. It's federal. We need to be on our elected officials. Tell them to go talk to Biden and tell Biden to do something about this. This go federal. That is not his, because he's sending them to the states that said they was sanctuary. But if I have friends who live in Arizona and friends who live in Texas, and you think we're having a problem, you got to see the problem that they're having. This doesn't make no sense. And they said they have a short range of bilingual teachers. And Perez said that they got to make sure and that they're going to do better because it's affecting our kids gravely. It affects their ability to learn and to progress once they arrive here. Y'all have to understand. Said bilingual teachers not only can help the students get settled and feel comfortable, but they also help the student continue learning their native language. Now, this doesn't make no sense. Would y'all please get that paper and read it? It was Friday the 19th, which was yesterday in the Sun-Times. But now in that same paper, on page 8, and this was on page, let me 2 pages off. This is on 10, y'all. But 8 and 9, they show you how they play off. They got two moms, two different school choice perspective. One of them go to Mollison and one goes somewhere else, and they're talking about, they're not really talking about the education. It's really not a good article, and y'all need to read it. because they were saying that one parent chose to keep her child at Mollis and the other one went to get a choice school perspective. But on the, you turn the page and they're talking about the education, the wraparound. And the sad thing about that is that our parents really don't know any better, because the leadership is not sitting with them going school by school. It's even just in their areas, and to do a survey of what's in those schools and make sure that those children get what they need so that they can be not be functioning literate. I mean, they go through school, the parents send them to school every day, and it's not like it was when my children was in school. They don't even allow parents in the school. I wish my parents ought to do something. They don't allow black parents in these schools. But yet, at the same time, you got a meeting with all of the darn heavies and they representatives and the school board members and all of those folks talking about wraparound service and making sure these children learn. You do not hear anything about our children about anything. Now, let me tell you something. I have a problem with that. And I have a problem because if our children don't learn how to read and write and think, we're going to be in trouble. And nobody cares because they think they don't have to answer to us. They really don't. They don't have to answer to us because all they got to do is talk to Yin Yang and y'all going to fall for it. Because sometimes some of y'all get angry at me at what I'm saying. And it's not just in Chicago, y'all. It's all over this country. And I have a real problem, and I want to hear from y'all on that. Because we're going back to school, and you got to read that paper. A choice, they got two parents. The other one, they got two mothers standing there with their babies by themselves, and then on turn the page, and you got all other people to bear meeting, looking at what they're going to do. Now, one thing I must say, they all of them was there too. They state rep, they all of them, all that people was there. Is that people understand that education is the key. I wrote a song called Music is the Spice of Life, but education is the key. You gotta be able to read, you gotta be able to write, you gotta have critical thinking. You got to know math. You have to know music. It's all things that make a holistic person. And then you got somebody coming over here, and we can't get it. Now, I want y'all to look at that paper. It's yesterday's paper. They got two mothers over there talking about two different views, one going to Mollis and one here. And then you turn the page and you go to a roundtable discussion about wraparound service for these people. Send them home. And I started out by telling you what they're doing in New York. And what they're saying and what they're demanding. One lady said that, and I'm going to find those little clips and play them for y'all. I can't play them today because I didn't find them in advance. We want them to come because we don't have enough babies, and we're going to be doing the census, and we need numbers. Well, that's crazy. When Trump told y'all that the people who are not citizens should not be counted in terms of reapportionment, our own people got upset and got angry with him. See, we're doing stuff to hurt ourselves, y'all. The fact that when we vote local school council, when you get ready, not the local school council, the school board, and the Hispanic representative, I can't get angry at her because she's trying to get power, and they are working on it. She put in there, and none of our folks push back, that you don't have to be a citizen to vote for that. Just have a child in the school. So what do you think is going to happen here? And nobody spoke up. Nobody. And black parents are quiet because they don't know any better. I'm going to do two more minutes, and I'm going to try to come to the phone. I'm not taking a break, y'all. And I might talk about it again on the other side because I want to talk about the parent equalizers. and all the stuff we did and how we had those folks. Now, Gates' son, she wouldn't even put our child in the school. She said there's no good schools in our community. And she put them in a private school, you know, paying for it. I can't knock her for that because you want your children to learn. What I can say, you can afford to move yours, but there are a lot of parents who can't do that. They can't even afford to homeschool their children. I don't know how. You know, I told you my granddaughter was homeschooled, Dorothy Jean Tillman. The one that got a doctor, her mother. That's why I always give praises to her mother, Jimelita, because it wasn't easy. I sat there and I watched and I saw what she did and how she took her around and learned. And they're not just sitting in front of a screen, but yet we're paying taxes. And they're coming together for the right kind of education for the quote-unquote migrant and the wraparound service. Help me, somebody. Y'all got to help me with this. And they're talking about the jobs and the housing. Now, I think the health department need to get involved in this because if these people are working in restaurants that y'all going to eat at, they should have gotten a clearance through the health department like they used to be to make sure they don't have anything. You saw in New York, in Atlanta, where folks came through the airport and got really messed up. They came, you know. So it's a lot of stuff going on with that too. But jobs and training, this is some deep stuff, y'all. Y'all just, I hurt because we just got through celebrating Dr. King, who fought for the Negro people. And here we are, and I'm going to have Dr. Anderson on because I talked to his wife the other night for a long time. But here we are, just, I don't know. And I think it's post-traumatic. That's what I was telling Joanne because she can't understand how black folks sitting back taking this. But it's post-trauma that it have not been dealt with, our trauma we had. So it's easy for us to just pull back and just try to, you're going to make it on your own. See, you're not going to be doing it. And then you got somebody up there. See, they throw out that reparation to you just to have you looking over there talking baloney when you're not doing this. When I heard that council person, New York, we just get reparation. That's baloney. You just talking to make folks get their ass off the prize. And I'm not opposed for repairing the damage. That's a whole nother discussion. But we just being played. And everybody else is meeting, and they're setting up government, and they're representatives. We live in a representative government that when you elect someone, they're supposed to represent you. We are a republic. Remember that. And that's why you're supposed to have representation. Well, those people are really representing their people. And the sad thing about it is they're looking at numbers, too, because they're using our tax dollars to represent those who are not legal on top of that. I do not have an obligation to these people. And I feel, don't get me wrong, I got an obligation to black people. And as Harold said, to love black people don't mean you hate anybody else. And that's not just happening in Chicago. Philadelphia is overran, and they got drugs everywhere. They're overran. New York is overran. Detroit, all these places. When you look at, when we talk about having voter ID, y'all know that's against the civil rights because somebody's talking points. How can have voter ID be against civil rights? I don't know nobody ain't got no ID. That's because they let these other folks vote. And we join in that, and what's going to happen is that you are going to lose out on your representation. You're going to be out looking in. It's self-preservation to look out for our own self because when you sit at the table, you know, you got to sit down. But, you know, you don't go there hungry or you don't go sit and you don't have, you got to be able to be who you are and be strong. So that's one of the concerns I have is I looked at that and I'm going to talk about it later on some more because I also want to, Perry had some on her show because I want to take a few calls before I go off at 7 o'clock. Perry had one other thing on her show the other day. She was talking about the commitments. I started to call in, but I wouldn't. I decided to just keep listening. And I heard everybody talking, and they really don't understand what the role of the commitment was, aside from my jobs. And these people already have taken what our playbook was, and they're doing it. You know, where we met, we had representation in every ward, a community representative, and an area chair to be overseeing them, to see what was going on in those communities, and to see it was more than just somebody having a job, because a lot of folks was volunteering. But it was a structure within that community for political empowerment. And then when you get past it and being more than, and that's what they're doing. They're doing that. And to do things for the children. That's what they used to always do, things for the children. I told you I was over there on Cermak, and I saw these girls, these kids, with girls and boys, with shirts on. They was on their way to some game. And I asked them what they was going, and that company had sponsored what they was doing. And that's what used to happen in our communities. But we don't have that. So being a commitment was more than just a job. And that's something I might talk about again on the other side, along with all of this stuff, because it all fits together. But they really don't understand what, because I was an independent Democratic Ward Committeeman. And when you look at Martinez, who's the, she took Dorothy Brown's place, clerk of the circuit court. And that's a lot of jobs in there. It made a lot of black folks middle class. And she is head of, she's a committeeman head of all that stuff over in her ward. Never before do we have one of those people been there. And they have all their committeeman structure in place. They have their political structure in place. And they have their volunteers hitting the floor. And out there knocking on doors and they're meeting. And some of their volunteers are not necessarily legal. But they'll be pushing that. So it's very important. It's more than just being a committeeman. So let's all go together, y'all, which y'all don't understand. When Beavis, Shaw, myself, Trotman, Hayescock, but when all of us are together, what we would do is this. That's why we got a lot of black judges. After Paul Williams and Anthony Young fought to get those sub-districts, which is a whole other story we'll talk later. And we came together and said, how many black judges running? And we made a decision that we were going to put those judges on our palm card. Now, sometimes we have differences, Beaver and I, because he'd be going, yeah. So as Perry was talking about those Irish names, he had something to go, but we all, I said, you got that. I'm not going with them people. I'm just going to leave them off my card. But we came together. So when you go in court and you see these black judges, it was because we defeated those people because we was not split as committeemen. We came together and we made a decision what judge we were going to support. We came together as committeemen and decided with Maddie, when that seat was up with Margaret Smith, who we wanted, and we put Maddie Hunter in. But that's a whole other story. Talk of Chicago, 169 WVON, our number 773-591-69. We're streaming live. www.wvon.com. We're on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go. We're on Facebook, the group Facebook. We're also on Blog Talk. If you miss us, this is some serious stuff going on. We can play y'all all out of the political, the education, the jobs, all this stuff. Now, you get your coffee and get your tea because I'm not taking no break. I'm finna talk to you because we need to be this stuff is almost, because we get ready to go to another election cycle, and y'all gonna get played again. So let me go to the phone. June.
Hey, good morning, good morning. How we doing?
I'm fine.
Oh, good, good. I just got one solution that we're not.
Wait a minute, your name June?
Yes.
Okay.
Short for Junior.
Huh?
Short for Junior.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure that I had the right name, right person. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you did. Anyway. Just my solution, because I'm always listening and, you know, just trying to get some understanding. I think, this is just my own personal, I think we should be having people move back into Chicago. They're not going to be denied housing.
No, stay on the other point of our education. We want to stay on the point of what's happening politically. We're not going to have people move back to Chicago right now. Let's talk about where we're at.
I mean, but listen to what you're saying now. You're saying that
I know
they're
what I'm saying.
Better.
You want me to listen to what
saying.
You're saying?
Yes, please. You're saying that they're getting a better education because they're getting, you know, more teachers. We're going to have to put somebody in there. You know, we're not doing no good on the outside looking and just complaining, saying we're seeing what they're doing. We have to learn how to infiltrate. We got to get somebody over there.
Okay, I got your infiltration. Okay, so keep listening because at 7 o'clock I want to answer you, June, okay?
All right, you got it. Thank you.
Thank you. I wrote down infiltration. You want to infiltrate. They infiltrate nothing.
Oh,
you want
up to, yep. All right, thank
you. I want you to think about what you said, June, okay? Love you. June said we got to infiltrate. Yeah. I want them to think about that. Janice.
How you doing, Ms. Tim? I haven't called you for a while.
Yeah, I'm fine.
I just want to say you're right about education, but you know what? My mother laughed at me and said, you self-educated. My older sister's deceased now. She used to work with me every night after school. And my mother got me little phonics stuff. And then when she found a place I could get tutored, she did that.
Mm-hmm.
But we have the wrong type of leadership. She grew up in Columbus, Georgia. And she said before they went home for Christmas, every child could read.
Mm-hmm.
Every child.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a program at night for the adults, but the white people made them stop it.
I understand that.
But
so
they still taught themselves.
Okay.
And I want to say one more thing. I look at the country music stars. When they start doing all their gay stuff and putting it for children, they told Budweiser no. And Miss Tillman, Budweiser is almost broke.
Okay. Thank you, Jen.
And they did it. And they didn't, but what I like, they didn't back their deal, nothing for their family. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And when the Judd woman went talking about she couldn't pay for her baby and she didn't care what people thought, the Judds went down. And one white woman said, I had a child out of wedlock. It's not a badge of honor, but you take care of your responsibility. We don't want you saying this to our children. You know, the Judds didn't come back. The mother committed suicide.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to look at from Push to the Urban League. They're not working in our best interest.
Mm-hmm.
And we had one time where my mother said this, I can't say what you do when you're not in my house, but in my house you're going to do this. If you take something, you're going to jail. I don't condone wrong.
I'm telling you, we were raised like that,
and see,
too.
We've lost the values that made us strong.
We got to find.
If you didn't have, you didn't steal.
Okay. No, you
didn't beat up no old person. You didn't call nobody no B. My sight is not great, so I didn't see a button. A young black man cussed me out, and a security guard had to stand by me with the dog. No respect.
Well, let me say this.
For us.
Let me say this, Jesse.
And I just think we need to look. Look at Budweiser and look at what Jesse did with Budweiser and look what the country music stars did. And they still boycotting that. They boycotting Target, too, because they didn't like the gay Santa Claus.
Let me say this, Janice.
And they stand for what they mean, and their children mean something to them.
Okay.
And you don't hear them calling their young ladies B's and H's.
Oh.
Education, and we need to get in those schools and teach morals and
they won't
values.
Let you in the schools. Now, Janice, they won't let you in. Parents, Janice, keep listening.
Can't hear you, Miss Tillman. I'm sorry. I got to cut my radio.
I don't know why. Don't turn your radio. You had your radio on all that time while you was talking to
no,
me?
No, it was off.
Well, keep
and
it off.
I couldn't hear you. I can't hear you through my phone. I'm sorry.
Well, you got to keep it off because you can't do with your radio. What I was going to say, keep listening. We got an internal, external problems, and we have to deal with both of them. But one is no greater than the other one. We've got to deal with both. Thank you for calling so much, Janice. You know, we got internal, external. I'm going to address a lot of that stuff on the other side. Because if we start blaming ourselves for everything, we're not going to be able to do. But we do have a role, but something else is going on with us. Sam Bell.
Hello, yes. Yes, how you doing?
I'm all right,
yes.
Sam.
How you doing? Yes, nowadays, kids, they should get their education now. Nowadays, you know, learn things, but these young kids nowadays, they don't learn nothing. You know, they don't listen to teachers, they tell them.
So you're blaming the kids, you're blaming the students for not learning.
I don't blame the students, but teachers, they learn things, but, you know, kids, you know, they need education nowadays, you know what I mean?
Okay.
And we all, like, I had my education, too. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, you know, kids, you know, they should benefit when they learn stuff because one day they might do something they said. One day they might probably get a job, you know.
Okay, well, I'm going to address that. You say one said infiltrate, the other one said teach ourselves, and you're saying that they're not learning. I'm writing down what you're saying because I'm going to address some of this on the other side, so I want you to keep listening. Thank you for listening.
Sorry about that.
And Happy New Year to you. Okay.
New Year. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye. Anita?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
if you believe in God, the white community is on the bad side of spiritual history, as Mama D said.
Wait, Anita. Wait 1 second. We cannot paint a broad brush, saying that's like them saying a broad brush to us. So we need to make sure we define what we're talking about here, right?
If they do not stand up and let their weaker brethren come up and say, oh, these people are not equal to us, and they allow it without coming out and risking their lives to protect all people, then they just as bad as the ones that's doing it.
Well, the question is this, Anita. How can somebody fight with you if you're not fighting for yourself? We fought to get representation in government, which we did. We fought and went to jail, some died, to make sure we got places. So the question is, what are those we fought for getting in? What are they doing on our behalf? But if we want to blame the white man for all of this, then what about these other folks? They get a pass? And plus, it's not nonviolent and loving to paint a broad brush like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, like I said, you have to stand out, just like the Jewish community has to stand out and make statements about what they feel the people that are not right are doing. So do we. If our people are doing wrong, wrong is wrong, whether it's our people
or not.
But you
know, black folks don't like to mess up, talk
about
themselves.
Our children are innocent, Dorothy. Oh, other people should stand up for those children that have been wrong.
Okay.
Because that's what I do for our community. I do not help adults that can make spiritual decisions for themselves. I stand only for the children because they do not deserve to be slaves because their parents will not stand up and do the right thing.
Okay.
But yes, people can do something, Dorothy. They're not helpless. And those immigrants coming here, they know daggone well that I'm not their mother, their father, their cousin, their uncle, and they don't deserve a doggone thing from me, okay? And I'm going to treat them like that.
What do you say, Anita, about those representatives sitting there? They're there, and these people are meeting, and they're giving our tax dollars, all that stuff, and our representative that we have elected not saying a damn thing.
Is the dark and the light the same? So you know they're in darkness, spiritual darkness, not intellectual or what, because they can justify anything intellectual and go on false information and knowledge. But if they're spiritually inclined, they will not be doing, God said, take care of your own first.
Okay, thank you.
And then go out and spread charity.
Thank you. I gotta take a break in a second. Okay, I'm writing down what y'all saying. That's why you have to have leadership and you have to have direction, y'all. Because if you don't have leadership and direction, you go in all different directions and none of it be right. It'd all be right, but it doesn't come. So on the other side, we're going to talk about that. Like I was going to tell you about being a committee member, most folks going to say, how do we elect Harold Washington, you know? How did Dr. King do the Montgomery bus boycott? What do people do? How do we get into schools? How do we build schools? All the things that we did. You know, we need to really think about this and understand this. Talk of Chicago, 69 WVN, our number is 773-591-6090. We are streaming live, www.von.com. We're on iHeartRadio, take us wherever you go. We're on Facebook, or we're on group Facebook. If you miss us, go to Blog Talk and you can get us. But I'm going to come back because I got to keep dealing with some of this stuff, and I'm trying to focus y'all. And I focus y'all on the politics of it, the education of it, the economics of it, and all of it. Get your coffee, get your tea, come on back, talk to me. I'll be right back. Andre, y'all hang in there.
Fly me to the moon and let me swing among the stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words,
I'm here. Kelly McCready.
And I'm Kevin Brown, and you're home for 24-7 News, the Black Information Network.
The attorney representing the family of Manuel Ellis is blasting the city of Tacoma, Washington, for awarding a $1.5 million settlement to the three officers charged in his death. James Bible said the city of Tacoma and its government officials have clearly indicated that black lives don't matter to them. Bible also criticized the timing of the announcement, which came one day after Martin Luther King Jr. Day. The city of Tacoma revealed officers Matthew Collins, Christopher Shane Burbank, and Timothy Rankine will each get a $500,000 settlement in exchange for resigning from their positions. A jury found the officers not guilty of murder and manslaughter last month following a 10-week trial.
Vice President Kamala Harris was a guest on ABC's The View, but before she joined the roundtable, moderator Whoopi Goldberg addressed recent remarks made by Republican presidential candidate Nikki Haley during a Fox News interview.
We've never been a racist country. Our goal is to make sure that today is better than yesterday. Are we perfect? No. But our goal is to always make sure we try and be more perfect every day that we can.
Goldberg said black folks didn't climb up the trees and lynch themselves, and Emmett Till did not do that to himself. When asked to comment on the subject, Vice President Harris said denial of history is not in the best interest of the country, and to suggest that enslaved people benefited from slavery doesn't help us grow as a nation.
A black family from Illinois is still in shock weeks after their 14-year-old autistic son was tased by police in an apparent case of mistaken identity that left him with a fractured hip. Dalton police were assisting authorities in the nearby village of Riverdale who were searching for four black males who had fled from a crashed stolen vehicle with two of the suspects allegedly armed with rifles and a handgun when police spotted Avarius Thompson, who matched the description of one of them. Body camera footage shows police deploying a taser as the teen jumps over a fence, while another officer on the scene is heard questioning whether they've identified the wrong person. An investigation into the November encounter is underway.
A new rule announced by Florida's Board of Education bars public colleges from using state and federal funds for diversity, equity, and inclusion programs. The policy applies to the 28 schools within the Florida college system and ensures that taxpayer funds can no longer be used to promote DEI on campuses, including Seminole State College of Florida, Florida State College of Jacksonville, and others with large black and Latino student populations. State Education Commissioner Manny Diaz Jr. said higher education must reject being corrupted by destructive ideologies. Civil rights attorney Ben Crump has denounced the plan, posting on X that Florida continues to go down a misguided path of censorship.
For more news impacting the black community, listen to the Black Information Network on the iHeartRadio app or log on to BINnews.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Black Information Network and on X at Black Infonet. I'm Terry McCready along with Kevin Brown on your home for 24/7 News, the Black Information Network.
I'm asking
day or our 30-day cleanse. Detoxing is important to avoid unnecessary health issues and is a good first step to weight loss. Barney's New Life Health has cleansing teas and sea moss in all forms. Stop by and talk to one of our knowledgeable sales associates. According to Google, our customers say our place is great. We are extremely friendly, very knowledgeable, and they can't wait to come back. Now it's your turn to visit Barney's New Life Health Food at 3141 West Roosevelt Road. For more information, we're online at nlhealthchicago.com or call 773-762-1090. 773-762-1090. It's a new year, and it's time for a new you.
I have diabetes. I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
I have asthma. I'm at risk, too.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine, a Pfizer vaccine that can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines, Prevnar 20 may help provide added protection. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Greetings, family. Salim Muwakil here. Please join me on the Salim Muwakil Show every Saturday evening from 7 to 10 o'clock and experience the growth of your mind muscles in real time. Check us out.
Salim Muwakil, Saturdays at 7 p.m. on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Join the Harold Washington Cultural Center as we present Lean on Me, the musical, Limited Engagement, written and produced by yours truly, Jemalita Dillman, and starring Arthur Barnes Jr. as Joe Clark, just in time for Theater Week in Chicago with field trip and community group dates at 10 a.m. on February 15th and 16th. This limited engagement runs the entire weekend through February 18th. For tickets, log on to eventbrite.com or call 773-373-1900. Lean on Me, the musical limited engagement will follow seven of their characters on a trip through romance, reunion, and redemption. Lean on Me, the musical, live at the Harold Washington Cultural Center, celebrating 20 years committed to children, community, and culture. See you at the theater.
WVON 1450. Live from Xfinity Studios, celebrating 60 years, it's the icon of American radio, WVON Berwyn, Chicago.
It's Dorothy Tillman on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind.
We just got through going through Dr. King, been to the mountaintop. I went, my granddaughter spoke in Aurora, and I watched the people talk about that mountaintop as they did a piece. He said, I don't mind because we as the people will get there because he never imagined in his mind that if we fought to have more representation in government, in business, schools, and communities, that we would not prosper. He thought that our people, and I think sometimes our people don't understand how to do it, or those who go there and they begin to fight and then they get crushed because they feel alone. Somehow or another, we got to understand and let them know that they have the power, and we got to let them know that they don't have to be like that. That they're the representative. We're in a representative government. God, will anybody say, you stand up for truth, stand up for right, and stand for the people you represent. It's 7 o'clock wherever you are in the country, in the state, in the city, in the world. And the reason you have to take this breath is because God gave us the breath of life. Your heart and your mind is one, and you got to take that breath. And you gotta have it to go to your brains and your heart, so we gotta clear our brains so we can be ready to do what we got to do here. Y'all, okay, Brianna, let's go. Black, 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 black. Come on, y'all, for the Trinity, y'all. Black, 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 black. One more time. Black, 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 black. Is that black enough for you, black? I want to...
tonight and plead with you. Believe in yourself and believe that you're somebody. As I said to a group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Kennisonian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with the pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own Emancipation Proclamation. Let anybody take your manhood. Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. It's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure. Ha! But I want to get the language right tonight. I want to get the language so right that everybody here will cry out, yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and beautiful.
Black, I'm proud of it, I am black and I am beautiful. What a great thing to tell your children or to understand who you are. See, if you look through all of Dr. King's speech, you'll find he always trying to do that kind of encouragement. That's the encouragement that they gave youth like me. That's what we tried to do to our children. They taught us one of the things that Janice was talking about earlier, what they told us. And that's just kind of the environment that we came out of. You can do it. Do your best. You're doing it for your people. You're pretty. God made you. God didn't make no junk. We believed in church. We believed in our country. And we believed in family. And that was, for Janice might not understand, that that was an orchestrated movement to break up, to do that and break all that up, because it was trying to figure out all we've done to these Negroes. They still ain't got all dispersed. So that was really a study and a concentrated effort. Hoover used to report, if you ever look for it, how he decided that he had to separate us from the churches because of Dr. King. He was kind of scared and separated, and how he was going to never let the youth go back, and Dr. King used the youth as an army. So that was orchestrated. So they put a lot of quote-unquote black folks who y'all thought were so-called nationalist black to help filtrate and infuse that. And even when University of Chicago, Black Lives Matter was, and I know Black Lives, I've always believed that Dr. King died believing that. And it was to, you know, destroy the nuclear family. That was one of the things they said it was. The young lay out, them folks who put that stuff to destroy the nuclear family. And they're believing that you don't need no nuclear family. You go out and you do this and that. So there's a lot of things that we've had to overcome. And we will overcome this because we do believe in God. So I just wanted to answer Janice, and in terms of infiltrate, how do we sound like we got to infiltrate? What, this is our country. That's what I mean. They made us, I'm trying to answer through them, they made us feel like it's not ours. We got to infiltrate something that we have already built, that we've died for. But they had you thinking, ain't mine, and you don't even have nowhere to go. This is your country, everybody dying to get here for. But at the same time, the blueprint that we've used to move forward, they're using it. So ain't no such thing as infiltrate. I understand what he's saying and why he's saying it, but we got other stuff. When I think it was Janice, I think I kind of touched a little bit of what she was saying, how what we did as a family and how the parents taught us, and we still are doing that, you know. And I think we're taking it wrong. If you look at that article yesterday, it wasn't just, and we can do what we want to do. I know when I walked Ebony and Jimmy, my children, into Mollison School, they could read, they could write. Ebony was reading at 3 years old. They could do math. I had taught them something, we taught them. And most of the children who came in those schools could do that. But by the time they got to third or fourth grade, they wasn't doing nothing. And that's why the Mollison boycott got kicked off, because these folks was purposely destroying our children. You give them to be there 8 hours with your children, and they're not teaching them. They're teaching them. They ain't have no problem teaching them about sex and all the other stuff about the devil. They got satanic, and we're not doing anything about that. The ministers are not even doing anything about the satanic stuff in these schools. And we should offset it with our Christianity and stuff, what we believe in our God. So Mollison parents, after finding out what they was doing with Continuous Progress, and we launched a major boycott. And that's when I saw this lady hugging her daughter standing in front of Mollison about, you know, going to the neighborhood school, and the other one told me she wanted choice. And they both from community. In fact, they must be neighbors, because I live around there. And then turn over, you see the difference in the power. So you have to understand power. You know, you turn the page and you see everybody sitting around the table, the national president of education, Stacy Gate, the representative, the school board president, the alderman, all of them standing around that table at that Hispanic school talking about what they were going to do in terms of the wraparound, how they was going to help to get, make sure these children get the right education. Now, what you think is the strongest point? That point with all of them sitting around there are those two parents that want a good education for their children and talking about why they got the neighborhood school, why they, just the parent. Now, they weren't there with a bunch of other folks looking out for them. But, see, we was, and that's what called them off guard. It's because Mollison parents begin to mobilize and organize and taking these people to court, and we won our court cases, and then organizing all these students. And after that, as we organized all the parents, they decided they was going to kick us out. They got rid of PTA, Parent Teacher Association, where we would all meet in areas and stuff and talk. The local advisory council, which was different from the school council, they got rid of that and also thought it was getting some. And then you can't just go up in the schools. I was there all the time, baking bread, volunteering and doing stuff. Now, I'm not saying that we don't have a role to play, but there was a reason why these folks played this game with our people. You got to be very clear on the role that they have played. So it's not all. Mrs. Mingo told me when a child get past third grade, if they don't have teachers that's going to really teach them, they're going to get messed up. And she was saying that she's seen children, and I did too, who parents walked them in that school, they can read and write. By the time that system got through with them, they was making something else up because they're trying to. We were one who stood up and within our own because they decided to marginalize our children. So I think parents still do the best they can. And I think every parent want a better education or something better for their children. I don't care what their parents do, whether they're gossip mouth or drunk, they're better. Whatever that parent is, they want best for their children. And just because you have the ability to do it do not make you any better or any less. So we got to look at that. But I'm trying to tell y'all about power. And y'all taking me away from power. I'm telling y'all that all we hear about is resources for the migrants. And we see all these people meeting and all their representatives coming together and the community coming together. And y'all calling me with this other stuff, and it will show me that you don't understand. Now I'm going to go to the phone in a minute, y'all. But when you take them, I tell you I heard Perry. Let's talk about political empowerment. Now we used to didn't have that many committeemen or aldermen in the city of Chicago, and some of y'all all over this country didn't have as many until we fought to get more. Now, even when we had those committeemen that y'all didn't particularly like, when we had them in office, they was doing something. You had a youth organization. You had stuff you was doing for the children. You knew who was going on, and you had representatives. When I was a committeeman, independent. I never was a regular. I understand what so when I was, we had representative community reps. That's what we call them. They didn't have jobs. They weren't doing it because they was from their community and let you know what was going on. So right now, I think that system had broken down. We met every week. And to talk about not just once a week or once a month. Just when you get running for office. And now they also would go door-to-door and talk to people about who the candidate was, give them information, and know who people were. They don't do that no more. They pay somebody a few dollars to stand on the corner and sign a petition. I don't sign petitions on the corner because you don't have nothing to give me on that candidate. You just get me to sign. But there was more of a touch. So that's what's happening in those other communities. They have taken what we got, and they're doing it. We kind of moved away and got comfortable. We moved away and we've gotten kind of comfortable about where we are. Either our people and think when you're in office, it's not to empower you, it's to empower the community. It's to empower those who you represent. But sometimes, and not all, there are some people who get in office and say, I'm big time. I can do this and I can do that. And some of them, not all, don't stand up. They be a little scared as long as they feel important. But these other people, like I told you, Martinez, very strong politically in our community. They got that structure that we had, and that's what they are doing all over. Now, I got a text about, and I haven't looked this up, but I can tell y'all about it. I'm going to try to tell y'all. It said, when the children who have IEP Spanish speaking become 17, they must be encouraged to register to vote by the new Illinois law. I got to see what that law is. How can they have a new law that if you're Spanish speaking that you must register to vote? Because voting is, that's your choice. But I got to look that law up. I don't know that much about it. Somebody texted me that said when the children who have IEP Spanish speaking become 17, they must be encouraged to register to vote by the new Illinois law. Who made that law? And I got to see, is it real? And if it is, it's stupid. Because you and your numbers, we're hurting our own self. That's all I'm trying to tell you. We don't even realize what we're doing. And even our representatives, our congressmen, our state officials, our county officials, our city officials, don't even realize that they're hurting themselves in terms of representation. And it really, then you start dealing with that people of color and that equity, not equality, equity, you know, because equity, you take in there, you know, you get another kind of thing. So we're going to talk to you because we got to do something about this. And I don't know what to do. But we've been invaded. And if y'all don't look at all of the stations, you won't see the invasion. And it's really deep. And now they're saying, forget you. We're taking your schools. We're taking your housing. And that man said, we have a right. Our children are not going to be out here like this. Now, they done came all the way across the river and talk about our children getting there. I saw on one news where one hospital in one of the cities are overwhelmed. They don't have no more room, and the government not reimbursing them. And when you go to the hospital or whatever, I can't remember the city, there's no room for you. So I did say Talk of Chicago 69, WVN, number 7735969. We're streaming live, www.wvn.com. We're on iHeartRadio, take us wherever you go. We're on Facebook, and we're on group Facebook. You can get us on Blog Talk if you miss us. Y'all, we have to get serious here. This is some serious situation. That is if you're talking about your future. And some folks, even the people who used to didn't have children, still thought about the future of black children. Okay? So let me go to Andre. Andre, how you doing this morning?
Good morning. Thank you for putting on the show and taking my call. The thing that we're facing, Mayor Dorothy Tillman, is so comprehensive. It requires more than someone being able to call in and, you know, because it depends on your thought process at the moment. Mm-hmm. You know, you've covered so many topics and just, you know, dialogue before I came on a call that I'm like, where do I start? But you know, I try to make it as impactful as possible in the short moment that I'm on the air, and other people may hear what I'm saying. But what I've gathered in my short time on the earth is that, one, we've kind of gone to sleep. We've forgotten that our community, our people, is a peculiar people, and we've been on the attack in this country ever since this so-called Emancipation Proclamation, even before then, because we were slaves. But since we so-called been freed, and emancipation doesn't mean absolutely free. It means out of physical
control. Keep on talking. Huh?
It means out of physical control, but it doesn't mean out from under the influence. And so the influence is more important than
You're talking about post-traumatic slavery syndrome, post-traumatic.
I'm talking about the word Emancipation Proclamation. That in and of itself does not make us free. The word emancipation means to be physically freed, but not out from under the influence.
Okay, I'm trying to get to your bottom. Okay, give me your bottom line.
And so what I'm getting at is that we have gone to sleep and have forgotten that our community, in particular, is under attack. So when we go to address voters' rights, when we go to address political representation, we got to continue with that mindset, because otherwise they will usurp what we've done, and we'll say, wow, we've gotten this far. We did this fight, and we're not getting the effect that we were looking for.
You said the fight continues. What do you mean by under attack? Give me a definition.
But what I'm saying the community is under attack on all levels.
Okay,
by the powers that be, and we have to understand that.
Okay.
If we don't understand that, we go at addressing our problems in a way that is not effective, because we're thinking like, okay, we're going to do this and we'll be okay. No, we got to do this and also continue to address the attack.
Okay, let me ask you this, Andre, and then I'm going to have to let you go. My phone, I got a few lines, but I want to go to my phone. When we talk about the Emancipation Proclamation, I'm grateful and thankful to Frederick Douglass and Harriet Tubman for doing that fight. We've always been having leadership who believed in God but also would fight. And it's because of them and because of their persistence that happened. Now, when you look at all the things that we accomplished, our people did accomplish. We didn't sit back and say we couldn't do. So we got to make sure our children understand all of that, too. But they don't hear that anymore. They just hear a bunch of other stuff. Our people did a lot of things that we can continue to do. If we did it while we was under all of that, we should be able to do more now. Wouldn't you agree?
I totally agree. However, just as we advance, the people that had us oppressed and still have us oppressed, they're planning as well. And so when you take that piece of the pie out as if we're planning and trying to move forward and no one's resisting, when you're not looking at that, how are they going to respond to this move?
Now, but who are the people?
The power?
Tell me who got us oppressed. Who got us oppressed?
Who got us oppressed?
I'm going to know what's your definition of people who got us oppressed.
Oh, okay, so do it like this. So when you look in the city of Chicago and the state of Illinois, we got more black representation than we've ever had.
Uh-huh.
From the attorney general all the way down to aldermen and state reps and all of that stuff.
Okay.
But however, the power of that was usurped by the Democratic Party. How? Because they put all those people in place. Their power structure.
Well,
we voted them in place,
so the power will go to the people.
No. But we vote according to what's put in front of us.
I got you. But I mean, I gotta go now. But we cannot underestimate our power. You know, because they put folks in place. They decide who they're gonna run, but some folks run on their own. And we get charismatic. We get into people where they can talk without what, and there are no questions, whether it's Republican or Democrat. We have to raise questions for our people economically and other way, but we don't. We just sit by and let folks scare us to death and scare us into voting versus anything else. Let me see. Douglas?
Yes, ma'am.
Uh-huh.
Good morning, Dr. Tillman. Love your show. Love the show. So many different topics you hit on, but I'm here in Boston. And one of the things that kind of made me sick last week, they had this big to-do about this sneaker party that our people, black representation, lady was talking about she spent $500 for a pair of tennis shoes.
No, Lord.
And I'm Dr. Tillman. I wish I was joking.
I know you're not joking. I've seen it, too.
I've seen all these Negroes down at the waterfront, at the seaport, in front of the camera, gyrating all this and that. And this is what we're doing for the community. This is what we're doing. And I'm thinking to myself, this is what we're doing? This is what we're doing. All right. We got all this education, all this stuff going on in the city of Boston, and black folks are struggling. We got a whole bunch of our children can't read and write. But this is what we're doing down at the seaport on TV.
I think what 1% of your children is on grade level. In Chicago, our children are not on grade. They can't read and they can't write. They're functionally illiterate. And I say that a lot of our representatives is buying into that, not just elected, but elected, anointed, and appointed. They are buying into the other stuff, not really looking at the whole of what's going on here, you know.
Not looking at the whole, Dr. Tillman. Don't mean to interrupt you in one last thing. Okay, I think black folks are so understanding, all right? We will go and we will understand the plight of other people. Folks will get in on our movements, and then once they get to where they got to get to, they give us their backside to kiss.
Well, that's people of color and that not equity and all that other stuff. Let me ask you something. Now, what's going on with these illegal immigrants in Boston? That's what I call them. Now, yesterday, on Friday, I was looking in one of our papers. Well, they had this big meeting, and they had the president of the union, the national president of the union. They had the Gates of the CTU. They had the school board. They had all these people, and the representative who's Hispanic, and also the state rep, all of them. And they came sitting around the table talking about the bilingual and educating of these quote-unquote migrants that I call illegal aliens. Illegal immigrants, and talking about making sure that they bring in the sort of resources they need so they can get educated, giving them wraparound service, housing and jobs and stuff. And then when on the page before that, they had two parents and their daughter. Now, you got to see. And I was trying to understand this psychological stuff. So this one parent got an arm around this girl and say, I chose the neighborhood school, Mollison. Well, I know Mollison School is not doing what it's supposed to do. Most of our schools are not. And then the other one say, I chose to go to a selective school, you know, a charter school or something. They standing there, and they doing this whole two mothers, two different things. They put that article in that plan with us, and then you turn the page, and you see power. You see these people sitting around the table talking about getting our tax dollars and making sure other folks get educated on our tax dollars, and all of the powers to be sitting around the table to help them.
Doc, I think it's a game of trignology. It's smoke and mirrors. It's all the negative stuff. But one thing, last thing, really, really quickly, I don't think we have the illegal issue up here, but what we have is a lot of the Latino community, the Dominicans, the Puerto Ricans, are in the communities that we once were the majority.
Mm-hmm.
They've moved in. They've got their influences. Now here in Roxbury, North Dorchester, we have nothing.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's, you know, that's happening all
nothing.
Over. That's happening. You know, I've been looking at Maxine, who's a very dear friend, man. The only time she come out when she hollering now about systemic racism. That's the only time our folks talk is when they give them stuff hollering, hey, Trump, systemic racism, and all that. But her whole community is Korean now. She don't represent no really black community. There's not that many black folks in her community now. When they get ready to take her out over there, they will. And they're the main ones, Andre, Douglas, that saying, when we say we need voter ID, oh, that's racist. That's not. That's to protect our community, make sure only citizens can vote and register folks. But our own people is hollering against that. They don't want. They're stupid.
It's crazy. And one last point, Dr. Tillman, I know you're busy. I think we probably do better than our parents did. I'm a child of the 60s. I was born in 66. It seemed like we had more when I was a kid with less than we have now with all these resources that we have at our disposal.
Well, let me say this. I'm going to let you go because I'll ask y'all to call in and talk. That's all. Then you talk a little longer today. Is that we got resources. We had less resources, but we had our community, and we was always doing it for the children and the next group, and we had some other stuff. Now, what happened is we got people in place, and I do not understand the holistic approach to it. That whole family, that God, family, children, it's really sad because when you look around, we're going to be extinct. It was there was a Pew poll that said that out of all of the races, the groups in this country, from percentage-wise, that you can look it up, that blacks vote more of a percentage than anybody. Then they'll tell us, you ain't voting. They cheat on you. And then the other thing is the birth rate. We almost like at zero. And the reason it's the zero population is because the few babies that our people are having from the ones that's being killed, that would give us a net zero population. We're going to be extinct almost.
Well, Doc, I know this is a cop-out. I'm going back down south. Okay, I'm going back to where my grandmother came from.
The southern folks are doing much better than these northern folks, trust me. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for having me on.
Okay, all right. The Duchess.
Yes, Black Chicago, meet us at the Woodson Library on January the 30th, Tuesday, from 5 p.m. to 7:30 p.m.
For what?
The address.
What?
We are going to be meeting with all of our school board. We invited the school board.
Slow up. Duchess, you going
yes.
so fast.
Yes.
I mean, I want to know what you're doing and who is us. Now, what you do, you want folks to come to the Woodson Library.
Yes,
January 30th. Wait. Now, January 30th to meet us. Now, who is us?
Our black communities across the city of Chicago and the suburban areas.
Okay.
Yes,
wait. Now, so you got the black community.
Yes, and our 18 black wards in the city of Chicago and our black suburban areas.
Okay, but who's calling this? What you mean by the black
our organization? Our organization been
wait. Stop going so fast. I'm trying to get the information. What organization, Duchess?
The Just Us 12.
Oh,
entities.
That's the name of it, Just Us?
12 entities, yes, ma'am.
Okay, and you're part of that. Can you give me some of the other folks that's involved in this?
Yes, other folks that are going to be part of the speakers. We have people coming to speak on, I don't want to give their name, we have a flyer coming out. They're coming to speak on reparations. They're coming to speak on slavery, taxes, the school system, and many other topics. And I would love for everyone to show up. Can I give you our email address, ma'am?
Give it on out, but I'm just trying to see. reparation taxes. I'm just trying to see.
Immigrants, yes, elected officials, our government, yes, we're going to be talking to our pastors. We have invited parents, the principals of schools, pastors.
Now, and who was your committee, Duchess, besides you? Who else is on your committee?
Well, there are many people that's on our committee, ma'am. It's too many people to add their names.
I know. You ain't got to give me all their names, but who are working closely with you to organize this?
Well, we have. Would you like to be part of it?
No, I will not. But that don't mean I might not. That don't mean, I try not to. But I'm just trying to see who all is on your committee. That's all. No disrespect. Just because people might know.
Ma'am, we have a board of directors with 144 people in the city of Chicago that are participating, that have their own organization and their ministry.
Oh, I got you.
Ma'am.
So you got these folks who, so you're bringing all the different organizations together.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, just trying to, can I give our email out, please?
Yeah, Duchess.
blacks@gmail.com, blacks@gmail.com, and justus12forjustice@gmail.com.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I believe the children, our children, it's all about our children. We don't fight on their behalf. We send them out for the grapes of wrath. The grapes of wrath, we send them out. Children come here. We have our children. And if we don't do what we're supposed to do for them, they end up with the grapes of wrath. Not of season. I know. That's the name of it. Okay. Not of season, but grapes of wrath. We send our children out to eat the grapes of wrath. Okay. This is Charles Bevel, y'all. I want y'all to hear this.
Even though we don't think no reason.
Yeah.
And the one who sends them, gives them, gives care.
The ones who send them is God.
As the children, take your time, but do not tarry.
Yeah.
You will all.
That's right.
Our children should
not have to eat the grapes of wrath.
You should never
have to eat it.
Grapes of wrath.
But why? Why are black children? This is answering what our last caller, not Duchess, but the call before her. The one from Boston, this song is for you. Come on, y'all. High and low is how we start them.
Why do we make those
decisions? Yeah. We don't have an inkling
what each child will dream or how they'll share.
But the education system
just takes to crush them.
Gift like we don't care. We don't fight for our children.
The
mountains, the grapes of wrath, all this stuff y'all talking about. Yeah. Send them out to harvest the grapes of wrath. We're not supposed to send them out to harvest the grapes of wrath. Those children are in our care. I grew up in a community where children was the most precious thing you can have. You know, they hear all this stuff and they go everywhere and they come back to a community that's empty. And that was decided when the young was fighting on behalf of black people as warriors. They said, we got to take this.
So we all get in line for a young one.
Yeah. Come on, child.
And children grabbed by rich ones will be pampered.
They're going to be pampered.
And the children left to poor ones will be hampered.
Come on, child.
Why do we act like the heathen? We have no religion.
Teach us that every child is in our care.
They should never
have to eat the grapes of wrath.
They should never have.
They shouldn't.
Why do we make those distinctions?
We don't have an inkling
what each child
what he shall will bring them, what they'll bear if we don't fight for their right to be educated. Hello, Al.
Ms. Tillman, real brief, I just want to say that we don't have elders to talk to, and I got an issue, and I needed some of your advice. real quick, my mother moved to, and I hate to bring this up, my mother moved to Atlanta, Georgia, 8 years ago with her siblings. Been down there 8 years, and now she got to a financial pickle, and everybody's calling me, and am I wrong for being mad?
Well, let's deal with this from a spiritual, non-violent, loving son point of view. You don't be angry with your mama because she gave you life. Do the best you can do and what you can do and talk to God. But your mother gave you life. Don't worry about your siblings. They're going to have to pay for what they did. So she moved to Atlanta, out of Chicago?
Out of Chicago. Well, she filed her for her sisters.
Oh, she went down there with her sisters? I cannot know a lot of folks move back down. No, don't be angry. See about your mama. She gave you life.
Thank you. I needed that.
God to honor your mother and your father. Okay? That's what the Bible said. Thank you. Ooh. Rebecca.
Hi. Hi. You gave him such good advice. I was just telling my son the same thing. Ms. Tillman,
yes.
I listened to you early this morning when you first came on. I think that, and you said this the other day. We need to come up with solutions. We need to stop talking about how horrible this is and that is and come up with solutions. Like you say, they're working on power against us. We need to work on power. We need to come in with the laws. Remember how Jonathan was saying, well, maybe we need to find a way to sue them for this or sue them for that. We need to have conversations like that about what's the solution to you having somebody come here from another country, take our tax dollars that should be going back to us. How can we get our money back?
Rebecca,
whatever we need to do.
Let me say this. One of the things I found, they had one person in office, like that one Latina in office in Springfield, the Hispanic.
Mm-hmm.
When they came up with the idea of elect the school board, she put in there that if you're not a registered voter, but you have children in the public schools, that was part of her push. On behalf
and then
of
we need to push back.
Wait.
We need to push back.
But we got the people in place, but how do we get them to work on our behalf? Now, I don't think they was thinking. They should have said, well, wait a minute. But sometimes people don't, they know they get a scheme. So then when you
don't
look,
think that fast.
Well,
mm-hmm.
They don't understand. And yet they, you know, it's like, now when I told you to look at yesterday's Sun Time, that tells it all.
Yes.
In the paper, you got them meeting with their representatives, the school board and the national education and the states and all of them, and they're meeting about the wraparound service and education for them so-called immigrants. Then on the other page, you got a black mother there with her child, and she's letting her go to the neighborhood school, and another one. Two black women with their daughters standing along by themselves and what they're doing. One is powerless and the other is powerful. That's a stark. That's really a stark. I wish everybody get that Sun Time from yesterday and look at that. That's the most telling part. But then they want to blame. We put people in place, and we expect them to represent us. These other folks go, and they do. I'm looking at this affordable housing. I remember when I had a big fight with Gutierrez when they was tearing down all the developments. And I was fighting to keep him, but I couldn't get no help. And he went in and demanded some of those, he wanted some of the vouchers for the Latino community. I said, you don't have a right to have no voucher. I had to fight him real hard. But he came in the back door and got some. So they go, and they're talking about power. And let me tell you, they understand power. And the difference between Native Blacks America, I'm talking about Native Blacks, I'm not talking about those who came, the Native Blacks, the descendants of enslaved, whatever country these folks came from, they have currency and they have country. Black Americans only have American currency. And America is our country. Africa is our continent. Until we understand like our ancestors did here in this country, understood this is our currency, these are our currency, and this is our country, then we'll be able to fight. But if we got all this different stuff in our head about America and about this, we can't do it. Dr. King never tried to destroy America.
What you said earlier, I think it starts with what you said earlier, where you told us to read that newspaper, get educated on this, and then when you said that they didn't say anything when the immigrants said that they came here. We ain't come here to sit around and do this. We want this and we want that. I don't care what you want. You mm-hmm. in my house. Mm-hmm. It's just like when a stranger come to your house and tell you, I want a piece of that pie. And I said, that pie is made for Dorothy.
But those who you put there,
you ain't getting none.
But you know, Rebecca, those who you put there to represent, you're supposed to say just that.
But when they
you know what I'm saying? If they don't, then you're supposed to vote them out. They supposed to say, wait a minute. No, you can't have that. No, Mr. Mayor, how you going to take money from the surplus and put it over here?
That's,
when we need this, right. You got to have someone to speak of leadership. You need.
But you know what? We can't just have one. You know what? We need to come together. So, like, if we know that you're getting around to go down there and tell Mayor Johnson what you just said. We need to go with you. We need to give you that push.
Oh, he
that
Johnson. And, let me tell you something. Johnson and Lee, they Jason Lee, they listen to my show, and they
mm-hmm.
understand. But the question is, what kind of power do he feel like he have? The people, you know, it's really. You dealing with a bunch of folks down there who are socialists and don't believe in God. And that's what done took over our government, not just here in the city and the state, but also nationally. And people who have not had, they were talking about equity, they don't know, they're not descendants of enslaved blacks, and they got blacks hating the country that we built. Until we reclaim this country, they're going to continue to do that. But we'll talk some more, Rebecca.
And I think that that's what needs to happen. When they call in, your listeners call in to the station, they need to call in with the understanding of learning from the past mistakes. Don't keep calling in complaining about, oh, my God, our kids can't read. Okay, if your kids can't read, what are we going to do about your kids not being able to read?
Mm-hmm.
Let's start a block party, and we do a study thing where they come over to your house some days and we do homework. They come over to my
but
house.
But the thing about it, though,
but we got to come up with solutions.
But Rebecca. Well, give me my tax dollars back. Now, what the Mollison parents did is we put freedom schools together. We boycotted,
mm-hmm.
and we put
mm-hmm.
freedom schools, and our
That's
children
right.
went up. So I'm saying that I'm not saying we should not be working with our children. The churches and all should be putting together. We need some more schools. Put some Christian
mm-hmm.
schools together. Put some private schools together. But give
us
our tax dollars.
Too, because it's our tax dollars that we're asking for.
Right.
And so I don't want to feel like you ain't giving me no handouts. You give me some of my money. That's
yeah.
my tax dollars because I own a lot of property in Chicago.
And girl, them taxes is high. Isn't it high? They high.
That's right.
Okay,
that's
thanks.
Right. Especially that. Yes,
thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you,
all
Rebecca.
Right.
Happy New Year
all
and
right.
keep calling, okay? Limo.
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm all right.
That's good. Where are our black institutions, our black business, our hospitals, our supermarkets? That's what we need to be focused on getting. They will create jobs for our young youth so they won't be going around here in the neighborhood terrorizing us. We need to be focused on that. If we could get that, our own black institution, we'll be better off because these politicians and these preachers are not going to do the things that's going to make an impact for our community. So we wasting time trying to change people that's been sold us out. Get your own. Get your own hospitals. Get your own supermarkets. Get your own black institution. Focus on that.
I'm not knocking you. I'm not knocking what you said, Limo. And we have
everything else is you fooling yourself.
Limo.
They done showed
well,
us.
Well, don't be so angry. Listen, Limo.
I've got to be angry. They done showed us what they going to do, so believe them. You can't change them.
Listen to me, Limo. We have a template, and the template is there in terms of what we did as descendants of enslaved, as we've done in this country, how we built. Now, when I was alderman now, I began to build hot stuff and giving black folks a dollar. Build the
supermarkets, Dorothy.
No, wait.
Dorothy.
I'm saying.
King was about that. He was a revolutionist.
Excuse
he was
me,
one,
you
want to revolutionist.
Okay, baby, I love you now. Thank you so much. We took a young brother from Robert Taylor, and we built one of the most, crystal clear, one of the most beautiful supermarkets in the nation owned by black folks. We got him money and built that supermarket over at the Grand Boulevard Plaza. It was one of the greatest supermarkets you could have. Black folks didn't even go. Well, he had ended up closing because they wasn't doing what they supposed to do. So we got a lot of stuff to do. I'm not saying anything about your black folks. But we got a lot to do. And we anger don't get you nowhere, Limo. I love you. But we got to think about how we're going to do that. Our ancestors in this country, I'm not talking about going to the other country, they gave us a template. All of our institutions, our churches, they did a lot because we believed in God, too. They built schools. Some of them still got schools. Our sororities and fraternities did more than just dance. They came together, and they taught children how to read and help them with their literacy. The Masons, the Eastern Stars, the community, all of that, we did that. So we have the template, but what happened? We start running away from it. Limo, don't be so angry. Call me back next week. I'm going to take this last call who just came in, and then I got to go, y'all. Give me some Marvin Gaye. I got to get up out of here. Address right here. I'm going to call for tea in the conversation with me. Right here at the Great WVON every Saturday from 6 to 8. Sometimes I come in a little after I get out. Don't forget to support Harold Washington Culture Center. We got no more calls for the day. We got Lean On Me. We got Lean On Me coming up next month during the theater week. 773-373-1900. Jim Alita. Call the Harold Washington Culture Center. So you can see we got Seniors Day and we have Field Days. And it's a great play during theater week. So make sure you support the Harold Washington Culture Center because we're kicking in the 20th year anniversary of being there. And we got a lot coming up. But so support the Harold Washington Culture Center. Give me Marvin Gaye up under me. We got 773-373-1900. Lean on me. Call now. It's next month during theater week. We do have senior day where you come in the daytime. Well, you can come that day at 10 o'clock, I think. Then we got it that Sunday. But it's a play that you need to come see at the Harold Washington Culture Center. But also get ready to support our 20th year anniversary. In spite of the fight we went through, we're coming 20 years. Our anniversary is coming up. Dorothy Wright, Tim, a call for you in a conversation with me. Thank you for listening. Thank you for everything. And look, in God we trust. Don't let nobody get you away from that. This is our country. Don't let nobody run you away from that. We got a responsibility to save our children. We got to understand that it's about our children. Old folks like me ain't got no business being mad and going through no changes. We know what works, and we got to put it back together. We can't just do all this other stuff. We know what's worked. I want to say that I was so proud of my granddaughter the other night as I watched her speak at King's holiday in Aurora. She was really great. Dorothy Wright Tillman, coffee, tea, and a conversation with me saying, save the children. Bring it on up. I love y'all.
What a shame. What a shame. Such a bad way to live.
Who's to blame?
Who's to blame?
Is to blame.
Start to write till my coffee to come session every Saturday right child. You know, it's about our children. Get that paper yesterday and see power and powerless.
Live
life for the children. We're not living for the children. That's why they over there trying to make sure they get the education for their children.
Live
on our dime.
For the children.
Live life for the children.
Hey, y'all. Oh! For the children. Save the babies.
Let's save the children.
Save the babies.
Save the babies.
Dorothy Wright Tillman. Till next week as we work on saving the babies. They're ours, y'all, all of them. God bless you. Save the babies. See you next week. Till next week as we work on save the babies. Till next week. Reparations now.
Bye. Save our sweet world. Save our world.
somehow my soul remains. But is it all worth running out for more pain? Is that what I
birthday, sing. Oh, many of you people out there have been hurt in some kind of love affair. But how many times do you swear that you'd never love again? How many lonely sleepless nights? How many lies, how many fights, and why would you want to put yourself through all that again? Love is pain, I hear you say. Love is a cruel and bitter way of paying you back for all the faith you ever had in your brain. Could it be what you need the most to leave you feeling just like a ghost? You'll never feel so sad, lost again. One day you could be looking through an old book in rainy weather. You see a picture of her smiling at you when you were still together. You could be walking down the street and should your chance to meet by that same old smile you've been thinking of all day. Why don't we turn the clock to zero, honey? We'll stay on the side, we'll spend the money, we'll start a brand new day. Turn the clock all the way back, I'm begging if she'll take me back out.
Turn the clock to zero, miles and rivers by the sun across it. Starting going to sing. We'll see you later.
Americans were promised a secure retirement. Nikki Haley's plan ends that.
Social Security, Medicare, how would you manage the entitlements?
We say the rules have changed. We change retirement age to reflect life expectancy. What we do know is 65 is way too low, and we need to increase that.
Haley's plan cuts Social Security benefits for 82% of Americans. Trump will never let that happen.
I'm Donald J. Trump, and I approve this message.
Before thousands were brutally killed, including Americans. Before Iran helped Hamas plan the attack, killing Americans. Before Biden gave billions of taxpayers' money to Iran, Trump played hardball with Iran. Destroyed ISIS. Kept the Middle East at peace. Kept us out of endless wars. Through strength.
History shows very plainly that evil only respects one thing, unyielding strength. When I'm back in the White House, our enemies will know if you spill a drop of American blood, we will spill a gallon of yours.
President Trump, the strength we need to make America strong again.
I'm Donald J. Trump, and I approve this message.
In recent weeks, Americans have been horrified to see students and faculty at Harvard and other once-respected universities expressing support for the savages and jihadists who attacked Israel. We spend more money on higher education than any other country, and yet they're turning our students into communists and terrorists and sympathizers of many, many different dimensions. We can't let this happen. It's time to offer something dramatically different. Under the plan I'm announcing today, we will take the billions and billions of dollars that we will collect by taxing, fining, and suing excessively large private university endowments, and we will then use that money to endow a new institution called the American Academy. Its mission will be to make a truly world-class education available to every American, free of charge, and do it without adding a single dime to the federal debt. This institution will gather an entire universe of the highest quality educational content covering the full spectrum of human knowledge and skills and make that material available to every American citizen online for free. Whether you want lectures or ancient histories or an introduction to financial accounting or training in a skilled trade, the goal will be to deliver it and get it done properly. Using study groups, mentors, industry partnerships, and the latest breakthrough in computing, this will be a truly top-tier education option for the people. It will be strictly non-political, and there will be no wokeness or jihadism allowed. None of that's going to be allowed. Most importantly, the American Academy will compete directly with the existing and very costly four-year university system by granting students degree credentials that the U.S. government and all federal contractors will henceforth recognize. The Academy will award the full and complete